This week on America Interrupted from the PBS NewsHour, an inside look at police unions, how they became so powerful.
They're only powerful because we allow them to be powerful politically.
And how they could help or hurt police reform.
The unions, they have to come on board. They don't want change, but we have to change with the times.
Listen and subscribe to America Interrupted wherever you get your podcasts.
Before the pandemic, transformations in manufacturing were changing American life. COVID-19 is now delivering a new blow. But Paul Solomon reports on how one nearly two-century-old family business is working to turn that around. It's part of our weekly economic series, Making Sense.
Business resurgent in Fall River, Massachusetts, at least at Merrow Manufacturing, founded back in 1838.
This is the first overlock machine. Merrow created the first overlock machines in the late 1800s.
120 years later, eighth-generation owners Charlie Merrow and his brother Owen tried to revive the business in an industry with a proud past and moribund present.
The first thing that people see is how much history there is. And the first thing I will tell somebody is that none of that pays the bills.
The Merrow's bright idea was to sew electronic components, simple ones, into clothing for the military and apparel makers. And then along came COVID.
How vulnerable were you as a business?
Completely exposed, having to shut the facility down completely and not knowing whether we were going to be able to open again. After closing, your revenues, they disappear. To reopen requires capitalizing your company again, meeting a payroll without any income. It was terrifying.
Meanwhile, the whole country was terrified, and especially, of course, hospital workers like Nurse Jackie Anam.
It's literally frightening when you walk in there. And that, I mean, if you're spending half your brain power worrying about if you're going to die, you're not concentrating on the patient.
Because they didn't even have the most basic personal protective equipment, masks and gowns.
It was a disaster.
But one that Merrow, with its 500 sewing machines and know-how workers, was uniquely poised to address.
After shutting the business down, with our health teams working to clean the facility up and our design teams building prototypes, it became clear through the phone that started to ring that this product was needed so desperately that if we were able to build it, we would get orders behind it.
Merrow pivoted the business within days to make medical gowns.
We're building 100,000 to 150,000 gowns a day now.
It's now the nation's biggest producer of them, and we're wearing its masks.
We're building 10,000 of them a day, and we'll probably scale it up to 25,000.
And as Merrow told Congressman Joe Kennedy, he's all in.
We put in a bid to build 40 million gowns in Fall River over the next 6 months. It's a big deal.
40 million?
40 million. We have a plan for it. I've got the fabrics for it.
Politicians both near and far are interested.
I thought this was off.
Merrow's phone happened to ring during our interview.
I have a call today with the Canadian government.
Wait, that call just now was the Canadian government?
It was.
And what do they want?
They want to have a discussion about how to build technical manufacturing of medical goods that'll survive for 2, 3, 4 years.
Because Canada may be realizing something critics of American business have bemoaned for decades, the offshoring of manufacturing, which saves money short term, but comes at a prohibitive, in this case, fatal long-term cost.
There isn't an infrastructure in the United States that is capable of building even 10% of the medical products that we need today.
Not the factories, not the know-how. In fact, 80% of the simplest protective equipment was sourced from China and Southeast Asia.
Part and parcel with moving manufacturing to centers outside of the United States is moving the design, the development, the pattern making, the engineering of products outside of the United States, which is fine. Global trade is an important part of our healthy economy. However, without those skill sets local, it makes it much harder to scale anything up.
That's why Merrow, one of the textile industry's survivors, was so desperately needed.
It has been 2 months of 18-hour days, and every single day has been tense. The demand for these gowns is in the millions. People need them tomorrow. There are calls every single day from providers who don't have them that are wearing trash bags. We paid employees to be here twice their salaries to work here until late at night. And every single day we worked at the very edge of our limit. There isn't anything I've done that's been harder.
The hours was crazy for a while. I was exhausted.
While distancing, while disinfecting, while masked.
Do you like wearing a mask?
No, not really. It's tough. Sometimes it's difficult to breathe.
But it will get easier, presumably. Meanwhile, the mostly Portuguese immigrant workforce, all of them legal, emphasizes Charlie Mero, takes home on average more than $17 an hour plus benefits. Mero has added about 50 jobs already and expects to create another couple of hundred by year's end.
We have no control what's happening in the world, and doing this type of work makes us feel good.
Now, Mero's not alone in its pivot to PPE production. Shoe company New Balance, shaving brand Gillette, car companies Ford and GM, and many, many more manufacturers are for the moment stepping up, stepping in. But Charlie Mero insists his is a sea change shift.
At the expense of taking short-term business in, we signed long-term contracts because this is the only way, in my opinion, for us to justify infrastructure investments, which is what we need in order for this PPE problem to not be a supply problem going forward.
One thing that's happened during my repertorial lifetime has been the move from just in case to just in time.
Yes.
No warehousing of anything. Is there going to be a sea change, do you think, in how American business does business?
This is the beginning of understanding how vulnerable we are to our ports closing. The business of building things is going to be a function of national security in addition to ease and access.
Are we moving back from just-in-time to just-in-case manufacturing?
No, not yet. I think that if the COVID crisis fades from our consciousness, that the industry will quickly go back to waiting for imported products to show up and not solving any problems.
But Mero, for one, plans to produce PPE here for years to come. Paul Solman in Fall River, Massachusetts.